the baptism of David Christopher is the first baptism that I have done here at Bethel Church. And so it gave me cause to think about, in this past week, the kind of world that David has been born into. Of course, this past week I also spent a little bit of time with Miss Beulah McCoy, one of our church members who just turned 100 years old last month. And one can't help but realize that so much has changed in this world since she was growing up. The world that David has been born into is far removed from the world from long ago. And I want to consider that statement first in a positive way and then in a not so positive way. The world has changed so much. For starters, the world today is full of technological marvels. Inventions in technology will make David's world one where even the most basic tasks in life will be done more easily and more expediently. The internet will allow David to be in touch with a world of information and ideas right there in his little fingertips. And David will not grow up with the threat of either nuclear war or conventional war looming over his horizon. He will grow up in a world where medical science has improved longevity, will improve his quality of life, and he may even see in his lifetime the end to many diseases that have ravaged so many of us and so many of our loved ones. He can grow up to make a name for himself, as Phil suggested, to live up to the names that he has been given. He'll grow up to make a positive difference in our community, regardless of the occupation that he chooses for himself. That's the kind of world that David lives in today. But then in the shadow side, in the darker side, let's consider that he will grow up in a world where there is still no Middle East peace, but there are still pockets of violence around the world and even in our very own country. He will grow up in a world where memories of Pearl, Mississippi, and Springfield, Oregon, Jonesboro, Arkansas, and Littleton, Colorado ring heavily in the collective memory of our American citizens. His will be a world of imminent and real violence to a degree that none of us ever faced when we were growing up. His will be a world where it is still costly to be a Christian. His faith will be challenged. He will have to learn to stand up for his moral convictions, to do proper business ethics, and to profess his faith boldly. He will grow up in a world where, despite global communications and the world growing smaller, people are growing lonelier and sadder and more isolated. Despite a world of fast-paced change, many in this world are still anchorless and wind-tossed. And despite a world of economic prosperity and sky being the limit, people and countries are still bogged down by great debt and glass ceilings. I guess the point is that the world that we live in today is a world of mixed blessings, of great prosperity and promise and hope, but also a lot of shadows and despair, sorrows. The central figure in today's scripture reading had that very same tension in her life. She was a young woman, according to the original Greek. A lot of our translations call her a virgin. She was Mary, the mother of our Lord, the maidservant of God. And I want you to consider her situation again as being one of mixed blessing and of great tension in her life. She was a young woman engaged to Joseph, this carpenter in Galilee. She was young, and one day she was visited by the angel. And it was an incredible message of hope and promise that the angel gave to her. She would help change the world. She was the one chosen by God to give birth to the promised Messiah, the Son of God, who would reign over God's kingdom forever. That is an incredible message of hope. Imagine her reaction, this ordinary girl from pretty much nowhere in the country. And God had chosen her. She was going to be the central figure of the unfolding drama of God's plan for salvation for all of humanity for all time. She was going to be that important vessel, for in her God would form the divine human being, and it would be through Mary that God would touch the earth in a way that the world had not ever seen before, in a way that the world had been praying for. Imagine her joy. Imagine the privilege she must have felt. An ordinary girl, extraordinary in God's eyes. But then there is the shadow side. Because she knew that the angel's words were also a mixed blessing. She asked the angel, "How can this be, since I'm just a young woman?" Mary's question speaks not only to the physical improbability of what she was called to do, but the social suffering she was going to have. Because she knew that her calling would be one of high trauma and difficulty. She was not yet married to Joseph, yet she would be called to bear a child. She must have known that her life would become instantly scandalized. She would bear the mark of a scarlet letter in her community. If she were living today, she would be on the front cover of every national tabloid magazine in every grocery store. You see, as much as this news brought words of hope to Mary, it also brought words of gloom and suffering. No one ever said that following God would be easy. And that's our entry point into this story this morning, brothers and sisters. No one ever said that following God would be easy. Because we are called to bear a precious gift, just like Mary. We are called to bear the Christ, just as Jesus was born by Mary. We are called to be bearers of the Word, just as Mary was called to bear the Word made flesh. Colossians 3:16 and 17, Paul reminds us to let the Word of Christ dwell in us richly. And whatever we do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. We are each entrusted with an incredible promise to do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, to carry the hopeful message of Christ for a dying world, to help be the instruments of change so that the world might be turned upside down by the hope and the promise of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to proclaim the gospel in a world devoid of truth. But this glorious calling and this wonderful responsibility also carries with it incredible risk. Because we live in the same tension-filled world as Mary, where there are possibilities of hope and despair, but there are real possibilities of risk and suffering for those who bring this gift into the world. We all know the story of the teenage girl who was a high schooler at Columbine High School. Her name was Cassie Burnell. And she professed her faith and allegiance to God. And when asked whether she believed in God by a teenage gunman, she said yes. And it cost her her life on April 20th, 1999. Several decades ago, there was a young German theologian in the 1940s named Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who grew up in a world where there was violence brewing all around him. In his Germany, there was a Nazi regime that was building strength and a man called Adolf Hitler who was preaching something that was not the gospel. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer had a choice. He could take that promise that was in him, the word of God, and hide it or proclaim it despite the risk. And even though he was a member of a church that was bowing its allegiance to Adolf Hitler and the Nazi regime, he chose to stand fast in his convictions and his beliefs. And it, too, ultimately cost him his life. Of course, these are two extreme examples. My prayer, of course, is that none of you will ever be in a situation where you are asked to pay with your life the price of being a disciple of God. But none of us will ever bear God's word without cost. Being a bearer of God's word, being a follower of God, being a disciple of Christ will cost you. It may cost you certain securities in your life, certain personal pleasures, certain personal indulgences. It may cost you social standing. It may cost you certain life advancements. It may even cost you relationships. But regardless, Christ reminds us that it will cost each one of us. Consider the words to his disciples in Mark 8, when Jesus says, "If anyone wants to become my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it." Jesus asks, what will it profit them to gain the whole world but forfeit their life? As we get ready for Christmas, I want you to hear again Mary's words and incorporate them into your life. Because Mary said this to the angel, knowing the promise and knowing the suffering that would be filled in her life, she said, "Here am I. Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." What an incredible example of trust and obedience. Mary is considered now firmly among the Bible's greatest examples of those who carried out God's call upon their life despite all of the sacrifice and all of the suffering that would come because of it. There is Daniel and Ruth, there is Moses and Elijah, Esther and David, and there is Mary. This morning, God is calling you to be added to that list. To say yes to serving God despite the pressures surrounding you to say no. To serve God and become a follower of Christ despite the many other things that are calling for your attention and service. To say no to immoral behavior, unethical practices, violent behavior, and other lies, and say to God, "Here am I, your servant. Do with me according to your word." Will you add your name to that list of those who faithfully carry out God's call despite the risk? One final story. This story takes place in 1886 up in the Northeast in a town in Massachusetts called Brockton, Massachusetts. And there was a special man who was doing some special services in that town. His name was D.L. Moody, Dwight Moody, one of the great evangelists of our time. And he was conducting a series of revivals every single night. And one night during the revival, he asked a certain young man to stand up and give his testimony. And this is what he said for his testimony. This young man got up, and this is all he said. He said, I am not quite sure. But I'm going to trust, and I'm going to obey. I am not quite sure, but I'm going to trust, and I'm going to obey. Is that your testimony this morning? In a world of uncertainty and opposition to your faith and your beliefs all around you, will you say that? I'm not quite sure, but I'm going to trust, and I'm going to obey. D.L. Moody's musician heard that testimony that night, and he was so shaken by those words that he jotted it down on a sheet of paper, and he sent it to a friend of his, someone named Reverend J.H. Sammis, who was a musician and a minister at a Presbyterian church that he knew. And Reverend Sammis was so taken by these words that he started to pen the lyrics of a song. A song based on that statement. A song that serves as our closing hymn this morning, the words "Trust and Obey." A same song that is born out of the tension that exists when ordinary people, just like you and me, are given the extraordinary responsibility of bearing God's word in a world of risk. The song says, "Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says we will do, where he sends we will go, never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey." Will you trust God's hand in your life? Will you obey the call of God in your life? I pray that you each will, regardless of the risk and regardless of the cost. In the name of the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer of us all, amen.